Woo, woo! Good Monday morning, everybody. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. How are you guys feeling this morning, gentlemen?
100. I'm good.
What up? 100. What up?
LZ, Key, how'd I do? How'd I have my 100 come out? Is it all right?
You screwed that one up. You said 100.
No, 100.
No, 100. Don't even worry about it, man.
Just 50 cent?
Yeah, try 50 and then double it to 100.
I don't know. I was never very good at math. Just never very good at math in the first place. Cam Newton has a job, Key. He is in New England. He's got a one-year deal, a fairly frugal one-year deal. It's a $7.5 million deal, assuming he reaches all of his incentives. I guess better late than never, because where he is, the team he's with, the coach that he's with, it's a pretty good spot for Cam Newton, I think.
It is a pretty good spot. I think when you look at it, you know, I felt that he would sign before training camp. We were right around training camp time. That's typically when these type of deals get struck. One of the first people to mention Cam Newton to the New England Patriots is our own LZ Granderson. And I must say that on a regional level, not a national level, because people on a national level didn't even see it. LZ Granderson saw it so long ago that Cam Newton could be a potential fit because of Mr. Kraft, because of Belichick, that this could potentially happen. And this was several months ago. So it's good for Cam. Cam has, like you said, a one-year deal, incentive-laden deal, which I'm okay with. I think when you look at it, people are going to try and shift the narrative around and, oh, no team's really wanting him. Well, that's not true. The fact of the matter is, when you look at the situation with the teams that are out there, most teams that are any damn good has their quarterback. They have a guy in the starter that they don't look for a backup like a Cam Newton that's going to take over if anything happens and get in the way. The Rams, they don't need him. The Seattles, they don't need that type of controversy. You look at the who else would be out there that would be a good team?
Chargers.
The Chargers, they made a decision to draft a young quarterback and not have a veteran guy who would be there for not 1 year but several years while they develop their young quarterback. You look at the Atlanta Falcons, they don't need a quarterback. The New York Jets, they don't need a quarterback like this. They'd rather have a guy like Joe Flacco who does not have any gas left in the tank. So this is a perfect situation for Cam. Like I said before, people are going to try to make it seem as though Cam can't play football anymore. Those people don't know football.
Well, there's two different things going on, aren't there? I mean, there's a difference between he can't play football. I don't know too many people that think he can't play anymore. He's been dealing with injuries, and we'll see whether he's healthy or not. I think that's a little different. But the demand for Cam Newton was pretty low. That his salary reflects that. The fact that we're June 29th when he finally is on a team, I think, reflects that. Not that it won't work.
But if we were not in this pandemic, Cam Newton would have been signed right along with everybody else that was being signed when they were released at that time. This pandemic has certainly affected everything. And when you sign this late in the game in free agency, there will be no money. I don't care who you are. They're going to use that against you. When you're signing 2 and 3 weeks before training camp, there's no money. They've given it all to the rookie pool. They've given it all to veterans in free agency. They've extended other guys that's been on the team. This is the back end of free agency. The Carolina Panthers didn't do him any good by releasing him when they released him.
What happened into their relationship that it caused him to disintegrate so much?
Because
not only did they screw him over in terms of free agency, but then just in that simple little poll we talked about a couple of weeks ago, in which they talked about the franchise's best player of all time, he wasn't even a choice.
And it wasn't even a choice when he's the clearly the right answer. It's one thing to leave him off if your team is filled with Hall of Famers. Cam Newton is the best player in the history of the Carolina Panthers, and there isn't a good second choice.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to the relationship. And then you got to wonder, you know, how deep did the rift go? Because, you know, his coach, Ron Rivera, gets a job, and his coach didn't bother even bringing him in. And so you're sitting here like going, what the hell happened in Carolina in which your coach doesn't bring you in, the franchise tries to pretend like you didn't exist, and they screwed you in free agency when they already knew they were going to let you go a long time ago.
Well, the Redskins, Washington has four quarterbacks. Again, they got a young dude in Dwayne Haskins, much like the Carolina, much like the San Diego or the L.A. Chargers. So I wouldn't use the Ron Rivera correlation and put those two together. You got to think that Cam Newton is a quarterback that needs to be on a team that's ready to win right now, that has a coach in place ready to win. They got Alex Smith on the books for $20-plus million. They got a young quarterback in Dwayne Haskins. They got another quarterback in whatever. What was his name, the dude from Texas? They got Colt McCoy.
See how great that sounds? You already lost this. You mentioned one guy who doesn't have a leg.
But you can't.
One guy who doesn't.
But it's a $20 million leg, though. It's a $20 million leg.
Good point.
It's a $20 million leg, and it's a guy that they drafted in the first round. It's a team that ain't going nowhere right now. You don't even reach for a quarterback like that. Can't help you. You can't protect him. Your left tackle got traded to the San Francisco 49ers. You don't bother Cam or even try to sign a guy like Cam Newton. That's just not the way you build a team.
It just feels as if I certainly understand your arguments, Key, and it makes a lot of sense.
It's not an argument. It's a fact.
Well, the fact also is that if you're my boy and we've been rolling together for 10 seasons,
I can't sign you. I can't do it.
And you're homeless.
I can't do it.
I may not have a bedroom for you, but you can at least stay on my couch.
No,
I'm not
going to
let you hang out on the street.
I can't do it.
I keep going back to the thing we've talked about throughout this entire process. If Cam Newton is the player that – or anything near the player that he was when he was the MVP a few years ago, even if I don't have a vacancy, even if my money is a little screwed up on my cap, I can figure out a way to bring him in because he's a difference maker. That it's like a house that comes onto the market that you never had to expect to buy, but it's really discounted and it's available. You can make a move to go do it, even if you're currently like the place that you're in. If that place is better and cheaper and everything else, don't you make that move? And it just seemed that nobody, with the exception of the Patriots, really made the move on Cam Newton. I understand there are circumstances for each and every one of these teams as to why they didn't do it, whether it's cap, whether it's they drafted a guy, whether they'd rather have a backup that's not going to be looking over the starter's shoulders. But there are 32 teams, and from the looks of this deal, there was only one that was really dying to bring him in.
Yeah, it's 32 teams, but there's only one that really need a quarterback like that. That's a winning team right now. Buffalo Bills don't need a quarterback. I don't know how many times I got to keep saying the same thing over and over again. The Buffalo Bills, the New York Jets, they don't. The New York Giants, they don't need a quarterback that's going to come in and create the controversy about him being the starting quarterback. They don't need that. So why create that for your organization? There's no point in doing it to satisfy who taste buds, the fans.
You're winning. We'll come back to it. There's a lot, too, because like you were talking about, Key, the division all of a sudden may tip back in favor of New England. We'll ask all of these questions. ESPN NFL insider Chris Mortensen joins us next. That's coming up on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. Cam Newton is in New England. He is a member of the New England Patriots. Joining us right now, the man who broke the story, ESPN NFL insider Chris Mortensen, joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline. Good morning, Mort. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well.
What's up, Mortimer?
Who's that?
The one and only Keyshawn.
Key's awake, man. I love it.
Yeah. I am awake, especially when you start talking about my dude, Cam Newton. Cam Newton to the New England Patriots. And you broke the story, by the way, Mort. How is this going to play out?
Well, first of all, as you know, he's not among the three greatest Panthers of all time. You were not in that poll.
I know.
But hey, listen, here's the thing about it is this: there's been a courtship for a while, but it got serious within the past 2 weeks. And then it was just and Cam, it took his physical back in March. It was arranged, and of course he had Dr. Robert Anderson, and it's his foot that is the primary issue this off season. Everybody, you know, he's had shoulder surgery in the past, but this year, dealing specifically with the foot, which allowed him to only play a couple of games last year. And he has passed that physical. He's still recovering somewhat. But, you know, listen, Bill Belichick's imagination, we want to put it in a box This guy's got one of the, Belichick's got one of the better defenses. So I'll say top five defenses in the NFL coming back to New England. We know that Tom Brady's no longer there. We know that Bill has wanted to run the ball. And in fact, when they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl, you know, that was a running football team for the most part. And so, with Cam, you get the diversity of run and pass. And we have to assume that Cam's going to be healthy. And so, you know, it picked up steam. You know, Josh McDaniels is a guy who, do we forget that Josh was the guy who used the first-round pick on Tim Tebow? And I will not insult Cam Newton by comparing him physically to Tim Tebow, but the concept, and this goes back to Josh McDaniels' ties when he played at when he was at John Carroll College in Ohio, the concepts of what you can do with Cam, use your imagination. If he's healthy, then Bill Belichick is going to create problems for any team that's on their schedule this year. And yet the word is that, you know, the word is that he has to compete for the job, and we can all laugh with that. And to be honest with you, I'm a little bit surprised that a few other teams didn't jump in there. As you know, this is a deal for the minimum wage plus a lot of incentives.
When you think about what we have always known the Patriots to be with Tom Brady, what impact from a media and just sort of like fandom will a Tom Brady have being the face possibly in Boston, in New England with the Patriots now? It's a huge shift.
Yeah, but I want you to elaborate a little bit more on that question. I want you to lead me.
Well, Tom Brady is an athlete who's very careful with his words. He's very, very, very particular with what he's presenting to the media. Cam Newton is almost a 180 from that.
You know what, LZ? I bet you if we went back and watched all of Cam's press conference, post game pressers with the Panthers, that it's a little more straight line than our imaginations. The visual is different. Visually, Cam has a different style in terms of how he dresses and a little flamboyance there. But, I mean, I've seen Tom have some flamboyant dresses, but I really don't think that Cam has ever said anything from the podium other than, like, a lot of former players maybe get a little bit miffed with some of the questions that have been asked of him. So I think that part's not going to be an issue whatsoever. I think Cam is a football player, and I know this much: his teammates have sworn by him. You know, no matter who they are, and you saw some of them on Twitter last night, including Greg Olsen, his former tight end, who's now with the Seahawks. I think that he's going to fit much better with Belichick's style than people imagine. And by the way, there's been nothing but any indication that Cam Newton is a workaholic. He works at his craft. And this is not something, he could have gotten by on his 6'5", 245, whatever, athleticism for a while. But, you know, listen, he played for Norv Turner. I mean, Keyshawn, if you play for Norv Turner, does that mean that you're just being an athlete?
No, not at all. It's a number system. It's a number game. You have to know, have to know everything in that playbook. The playbook is, you know, a lot of people more talk about the West Coast playbook is supposed to be so intense and hard because it's wordy. I would argue that Norv Turner's playbook is probably harder.
Yeah. And then listen, Josh McDaniels, they were ready to go into the season, we know, with Jarrett Stidham, another former Auburn quarterback, not quite the notoriety of Cam. And Brian Hoyer. And I actually think that Hoyer, I think the plan may have been that Hoyer would start the season and East did him in. But now, you know, everything's off. I guess we'll all be shocked if Cam Newton isn't the quarterback. And if he's not the quarterback, it's because he's re-injured himself, in my opinion. You know, that's what I'm expecting. And I think it makes them, you know, obviously primary contenders again. I thought they were going to be contenders anyway because they moved toward, let's play toward our defense type thing. But now I think this puts them, you know, we certainly put the Chiefs and Ravens at the top, and then below that, we're going to put the Patriots on, in that list of teams that will contend in the AFC and the NFL.
Chris Morton's. Oh, excuse me, Keith. Yeah, Morton. What was the demand for Cam Newton? I mean, here we are. It's towards the end of June. Would he have been signed a lot earlier in the process, a lot earlier in the calendar, if we weren't in the middle of a pandemic? Is that why this took so long, or was there not a ton of bidders for his services?
Well, the timing of when the Panthers released him, and then you know, behind that, the pandemic hitting, that hurt him. Even though the Panthers had arranged for him to have a physical that all teams had access to, I think March 23rd is the date. There's some teams still feel like, okay, I still need to get him in here for a physical now. But I'll be honest with you, and I think we're on the record I always thought the LA Chargers were a great fit for him. And Anthony Lynn certainly had an admiration for him, but Anthony is totally sold on Tyrod Taylor as being their guy. And I just think that Cam Newton would have been a great fit there. And there would have been more competition for Cam, I think, had he been coming off a healthy season or, let's say, a healthier season. There was there still are some questions about the foot. But there's no question that there should have been four or five teams interested in him. And I even thought about the Cowboys, to be quite honest with you, as they were going through the Dak Prescott stuff. But, right now it's the New England Patriots, and I think there are a lot of people who are going around the league right now saying, if he turns out to be anywhere close to the Cam Newton he was before injury, you know, somebody's going to get fired, okay?
Mark, this brings me back to 1998, the signing of Vinny Testaverde.
Wow, that's a great one.
We had a guy in Glenn Foley who came into the season as the starting quarterback, but I remember Bill Parcells walking up to me in training camp and saying, I got something for you, and you're going to be pretty happy with this one. And I thought it was Rodney Pete, but it turned out to be Vinny Testaverde. And myself, included with some others, was like, man, that dude is 1,000 years old. I was in elementary when he started. And Vinny had a Baltimore season that you was kind of like, okay, he's had a few here and there. But in 1998, he led us to the AFC Championship game and played phenomenal when everybody just assumed he was done. And I look at this one in Cam Newton in a similar fashion.
Yeah, I've heard that comparison just once this morning about Vinny Testaverde and what the Jets did there. Although I will remind people, if they go on YouTube and look for Glenn Foley to Keyshawn Johnson, they'll see Keyshawn at his finest catching passes from Glenn Foley. That was a big thing. And people forget that Vinny came in, technically, he'll be the backup or he'll compete. And he came in and led that team and a game lost it to the Denver Broncos in Denver, and I think Parcells is still a little bit ticked off about that one. But, I think this is worthwhile of mentioning somebody that you just, there's some people out there who say, listen, I need to see it. I mean, this is a guy, despite being Superman, he's had his shoulder injuries, he's had his foot injuries. You do get hit in this league. You don't get faster as you get older. But I will add, Cam Newton just turned 31 years old last month. 31 years old. Now, in quarterback years, you're still young.
Do you think he stays there long term, Mort? Do you think it's a 1-year deal? If he comes in and plays reasonably well, is he their quarterback moving forward, or is this a 1-year rental?
Well, if he comes in and plays like Super Bowl contending well, I think they try to work something out. Now, we all know how the Patriots operate with the salary cap. And to be quite honest with you, this pandemic, and I'll just throw this in there because you can broad stroke it with some other players. The pandemic, there's no force majeure clause in the collective bargaining agreement. In other words, this pandemic does not mean that players won't get paid what they've signed for. But the unions working with the management council of the NFL, because calculating next year's salary cap, what will happen is, this year's revenues will come off next year's cap. And so that's why some of these players you think should have contracts aren't getting done, because they haven't been able to figure out the calculation on the cap next year. But I would say this, and as far as Cam goes, there's a way to make it work. If he's if he is what he's been, then I don't know why the Patriots wouldn't say, let's find a way to make this work. Now, will it be for the $35 to $38 million he can get on an open market? I would say no. So now that I've talked myself through this one, I'll say below 50-50 he's a Patriot after this season.
Chris Morton, ESPN NFL Insider, joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline. Thanks for your time this morning, Mort. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, Mort.
Yeah, so that's fascinating. By the way, that's the first I've heard that explained that way, that what's going on right now is going to affect everybody next year. That's why guys don't have jobs as well. Here's one for you, Key. What happens if Cam Newton wins the Super Bowl? Specifically, what happens to Tom Brady if Cam Newton wins the Super Bowl? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, so we're going to have another snake draft coming up later today. At 8:40, we will do another snake draft. Who won last week, Raj? The superhero really or the superpower snake draft?
Did you really want to bring that up?
Yeah, well, did you win, Keith? It's getting tight up top. Keyshawn picked the most basic superpowers, took a fifth superpower, and it went on to help him propel him into the lead with 42% of the vote. So congratulations, Key. You have your sixth victory. LZ is still at seven.
And I thought Travis, I had eight.
No, I've got man. Four.
No, Travis, you got three and an ass.
No. Hey, look, if the season gets played, the championship counts.
Travis, listen, if the championship counts, then I have eight because I beat you, Travis, in the shortest season as well.
I'm happier being behind 8-4 than 7-3.
Wait, no, so John Ireland won that one, LZ.
No, making up stuff. No, I beat Travis with 70% of the vote when we went head to head the first time.
That's fine.
I don't remember that. We'll have to look back in the record books.
Cheating.
I have four.
I picked the siblings. I picked the Venus and Serena Williams and crushed them, remember? We did.
No, I don't remember that one. But fine. Yeah. You might have a little something like that. But anyway, we'll do it a little bit later in the show. 8:40. We're going to reschedule it since we got off to a different start there. But congratulations, Keyshawn.
When I get to 10, I'm going to stop playing.
Oh, and this one, by the way, just a preview. Yeah, you're going to stop at 10. We are doing most lit days because 4th of July is coming up. It's my favorite day just to have fun and run around and blow stuff up and have a little fun, drink stuff a little bit. So most lit days. It doesn't have to be a holiday.
And it can
be
just a day. And the reason Governor Newsom is doing what he's doing.
Yeah, you might want to. You might get your day taken away. You might get your day taken away, Raj.
He is not the only one.
Keith, what happens to Tom Brady and his legacy if Cam Newton steps right into New England and they win the Super Bowl?
I don't think anything happens to his legacy. Conversations.
What?
I think conversations Nothing? Are going to. No, the dude's already cemented, man. You can't. You're not going to change what Tom Brady is because Cam Newton goes and wins the Super Bowl.
We
what
sure would have do, an answer to our question, though.
Well, you would start to. The conversation. Belichick? The conversation would be Brady, Belichick. You know, was it Brady or was it really Belichick? It looks like it was really Belichick because he won with Castle. He won with Garoppolo. He won a few games with Garoppolo, Brissett. Castle went to 11. You know, you start that conversation. And, you know, that's the conversation that you would have. But in terms of saying that all of a sudden Tom Brady needed Bill Belichick in the worst way, I mean, you could have it. It's a conversation to be had. That's all I can say. It's a conversation to be had.
Well, listen, I know for a fact, at least I'm back up. Personally, if Bill Belichick missed the playoffs and Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl, then we're all thinking it was Tom Brady more so than Bill Belichick.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to assume that we're going to flip it.
It's the same dynamic.
I think because he's a player and he's a coach that in his coaching style would certainly lend you to question because he has not had championship success without Tom Brady as his quarterback, as a head coach, certainly as a defensive coordinator. He won Super Bowls and gone to Super Bowls, but as a head coach, he hasn't had any championship success without Tom Brady. So, you know, and people don't really like Belichick like that, you know, and so coaches always kind of get the short end of the stick when it comes to stuff like this.
Well, if either one of them win the Super Bowl right away, it's a blow to whoever is on the other end of it, right? That if Brady wins, then it's like, oh, okay, look, and to your point, Key, no one is going to look at Tom Brady as, oh, he wasn't that good in the first place. No one's going to look at Bill Belichick and say, oh, Bill Belichick was just riding along with Tom Brady. Regardless of what happens, both of these guys are arguably the greatest at what they've ever done in their respective positions, head coach and quarterback. But if one of them wins, and especially if it's right out of the chute, if one of them wins the Super Bowl in the very first season without the other, we're going to say, oh, the reason that they won most of those is because of either Belichick or Brady, depending on what it is. And there's just no way about it, because both of these guys, at least Brady in particular, he's at towards the end of the line. He's only got a few years left. And if he spends 20 years in one spot, gets six, and then goes 1-for-1 in Tampa, it says something about the Patriots. It says something about his contributions to that the dominance that they had over a 20-year period. And it's not that, oh, the coach was putting it all together. It's no, he had the greatest trigger man of all time, the guy who was making all the decisions, making all the throws, and that's why they won those six titles and went to those 9 Super Bowls.
I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see. I mean, it certainly, even if it doesn't, it's going to be fascinating to see who goes further, Super Bowl or not. If Cam Newton all of a sudden is in the AFC Championship game and Brady's at home, or Brady's all of a sudden in the NFC Championship game and the Patriots are at home, it's just going to be fascinating to see. I don't think that the conversation has to go all the way to winning the Super Bowl. Winning the Super Bowl would be the cherry on top. I think it's how the teams fare and where they wind up when the season is over.
I think the other thing that's really fascinating, when you compare Bill Belichick to, say, like, you know, Phil Jackson, for instance, right? So Phil obviously was a made man in Chicago. 6 chips is hard to argue. But what solidified his place was that he did it somewhere else with other players. That really solidified it, because even with the 6 chips in Chicago, you go, oh, that was MJ. And even though you can say, oh, that was Shaq and Kobe, the reality is that he's done it multiple times with different combinations of players, superstars, but still prove that made it without question. This is his stuff. When I look at Bill Belichick, this is his Phil Jackson to LA moment. This is his chance, even though he's had some success with other QBs and his temporary sort of standing. This is his chance now to go, look, Tom Brady was my Jordan, but I can win with Pippen too. I can win with Kobe and Shaq. I can win with Powell. Whatever you give me, I can win chips. I'm really excited to see how far Bill Belichick is going to go with Cam. And even more intriguing, if Cam doesn't win the spot, I'm really looking forward to see what Bill saw and whoever he decides to be the starting QB and what he does with that.
There's no way he didn't win the spot, right? I mean, Jarrett Stidham is not going to outplay Cam Newton.
If he's not healthy, right? Like, okay. If he's not like 100-100 the way we thought he is, or if he re-injures something the way that Mort says. You know, you never know.
Only thing that will derail Cam is injury. Other than that, we're not worried about the quarterbacks that's there.
All right, we know who the Lakers get right out of the chute. They're going to kick off the entire NBA reboot. How big of a game is it? That's next on the Morning Show on 710 ESPN.